Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Going to talk with Hub Arkish, the executive editor of Pro Football Weekly, coming up here momentarily. You can find Hub on Twitter at @Hub_Arkish. @Hub_Arkish, and we'll be talking with him coming up here in just a moment. Packers right now with a bye week, and then last night coming off of that game, San Francisco with a loss now. They have a blemish on their record. Seattle, when you start to look at all the different power rankings as to kind of who are the strongest teams right now in the NFL, you got to figure the Packers are in there in the NFC. How strong are they? How good are they compared to some of the others? Well, let's talk to Hub Arkish, the executive editor of Pro Football Weekly, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Hub, how you doing, my friend?
I'm good, Bill. How you doing?
Good to talk to you. I'm doing well. So what you saw last night, first of all, we'll start there. An epic performance by both teams. It looked like Garoppolo, later in that ballgame, wasn't ready for prime time, and Russell Wilson continues to put his name into the hat for the MVP candidacy, but talk about some of the stronger teams right now that your thoughts are in the NFC.
Well, you know, it's interesting. It was a great football game, and there's no question that the 49ers are vastly improved and a very good team. But I still can't put them, in the top three or four in the NFL, and it's mainly because of that offense, and in particular that passing game. Now, granted, no George Kittle. They lose Emmanuel Sanders, but still, they just don't scare you when they need to. And Rube Garoppolo, I don't know if it's that he, collapsed under pressure, but he did. He should have been picked twice, on the game-tying drive that got it to overtime. You flip it around, you also have to realize that as impressive as Seattle was, as impressive as Russell Wilson is, that's a bottom-six defense. I mean, they do not rank any positively anywhere on defense, and that was what the 49ers couldn't handle last night. The Seahawks, the record is very impressive, but look how they've struggled in most of those wins, some of them against just average competition. So love the football game, very impressed with what Wilson did, impressed with what the 49ers are doing on defense, but I'm not sure that either one of them ranks with the two or three best teams in the NFC.
The Packers have gotten vastly better as well. How much better do you think the Packers are? I think we all understand there's some flaws, defensively speaking, that have been more so exposed here as of late. But how much better is this team from what we witnessed last year to where they are today?
Bill, it's hard to say because so much of it is Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
And he's part of the team, and so that certainly makes the Packers a contender. But I look at some of these games, the Vikings game, they really caught a ton of breaks there. And if you flip that one around, now they're a game behind Minnesota. They won the first quarter. The Vikings won the last three. Very impressed with what they did going into Dallas. But Carolina was close to having them at the end. I don't think McCaffrey got to the goal line. I do not diminish that victory in any way. They're doing some really good things, but when you break the team down and you say, where would you like to get better? There's a lot of areas I'd like to see them get better. You'd like to see one or two of these young receivers really emerge as number two to Devontae Adams. I do not trust the interior of that offensive line. And defensively, they clearly can't stop the run. So I probably, if they were playing the Seahawks or the 49ers tomorrow on a neutral field, I would probably take the Packers because of Rodgers. But when we talk about how improved the team is, I think there is still work to do there.
Do you like what they're doing offensively now? We know, as you'd mentioned, Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers, but the fact that they've been able to get the ball to Aaron Jones, the fact that Jamal Williams has become a key cog in this, obviously Devontae Adams is back, but they're utilizing guys like Jimmy Graham now, who looks a little bit re-energized, not youthful, but re-energized in some ways. But the way the offense has flowed, do you like what they've done?
I love the way that they're using the running backs. And you know, clearly Matt LaFleur has identified that he's not ready yet at wide receiver, but he does have pretty good depth with Jones and Williams, and they're finding different ways to make them a factor in the offense. You know, beyond that, though, when we talk about how the game flows, and again, I've been on the sidelines for Westwood One for two of their games, the opener in Chicago where, you know, the offense was awful, and then saw him against Detroit where the offense struggled a little bit, but Rodgers was the difference in that ballgame. I don't know that we really know yet what Matt LaFleur's offense is. And I think some of that is because of how unsettled they are at the receiver positions, you know. And when I say unsettled, we know who these guys are. But, you know, we're still waiting to see, is it Valdez-Scantling? Is it Geronimo Allison? Could it be Alan Lazard? Can one of these guys really step up and be a dependable number two? Because right now it's more about Aaron Rodgers making plays. And so, again, you know, all that matters is the record. They're going to be in the playoffs. I don't know if they're going to win the division. I still think the Vikings have a more complete roster. And once you get there with Aaron Rodgers, there's no telling what can happen.
Talking with Hub Arkush, Executive Director of Pro Football Weekly. Hub, I go back to something you said, and I listened to you a couple of years ago, and you'd said in an offseason, a general manager can only fix so many holes. And sometimes three, possibly four, but usually not more than that. Brian Gutekunst needed to fix many holes. He needed to solidify the secondary. He needed a pass rush. He needed somebody at safety. He needed an offensive lineman. He needed additional help at tight end, additional help at wide receiver. Look, he had a lot of holes to fill. They needed another stud linebacker. Give me your assessment of what Brian Gutekunst has done since he has taken over for Ted Thompson.
Well, you know, and it's interesting, Bill, because they still need some of the things that you just listed.
Uh-huh.
But if you point out, you can only do so much so quickly. I am really pleasantly surprised with how much they're getting out. I call them the Smith brothers, obviously.
Right.
But I am very impressed with how much he's getting out of both of them, because those were big risks. I mean, these were guys who you saw the athletic ability and the physicality, but they just hadn't produced numbers. They hadn't made enough plays really, you know, to justify the big free agency dollars. Now, you know, Preston, I guess, didn't get quite as much as Zadarius, and I think Preston's probably the slightly better player, but they're both doing exactly what Gutekunst wanted them to do, and so that's big props to him. I think that Packer fans are probably beginning to see at this point that Adrian Amos is kind of just a guy. You know, we don't know what Jay Sternberger is going to be, if he is an eventual, you know, replacement and a better answer. You know, when you look at Jimmy Graham and where he's at in his career, Kenny Clark is one of the best nose tackles in football, but they've got to shore up the middle of that defense. And that's an area, you know, where really Gutekunst hasn't attacked yet. You know, on the offensive line, we'll see. You know, I think that it's one of the best pairs of tackles in football when you can keep the two of them on the field. And Corey Lindsley's pretty good at center, but the guards, they Billy Turner is a guy again, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I tend to look at it really as last year was Gutekunst's first full year where he dove into free agency. And so, you know, body of work, I think he's doing a really good job, but I think he'd be the first one to tell you that he's got work to do.
The rest of the NFC we talked about, the AFC we have not discussed. Real quick, is it really between New England and Baltimore as the two better teams in the AFC, or is there another team? I mean, with Patrick Mahomes back, Kansas City's very good, but that defense is very susceptible. So how does the balance of power right now shift in the AFC, if at all?
I think we're waiting to see. You know, I know what Baltimore did to New England in Baltimore a couple of weeks ago, but we also know how hard it is to win nine games in a row. We knew that New England hadn't been tested, but we know how Belichick responds to this stuff and how Brady responds to this stuff. And in spite of the outcome of that game, I still think the Patriots are the team to beat. That Baltimore defense is very suspect. And as much as I love watching Lamar Jackson play football, if they get into a game, in fact, if they had to play the Patriots again in January, I could almost guarantee you that he would have an answer to the running portion of Lamar Jackson. And if you force him to beat you with his arm, I'm still not sure he's going to do it. So, I think Baltimore is the second best team right now based on the way they're playing at the moment, but it's mid-season. I got my eye on Pittsburgh. I'm surprised to say it. I thought when J.J. Watt went down, Houston was done, but everybody's talking about Russell Wilson. I think Deshaun Watson is having an MVP-caliber season. I don't know that anybody else. I really liked the Colts until the last couple weeks, but you see the impact of the loss of Jacoby Brissett. And then, you get out west. Right now, the Raiders, you look at the schedule, there's a pretty good chance they're going to be 7-4, but to me, they're not a playoff-winning team yet. The Chiefs, the defense is the issue, and we knew it coming into the season. And the fact that they are as awful as they are against the run, it's really hard to project them. So, right now, the only team that's doing enough to suggest to me that they might be able to join the Patriots and the Ravens in the conversation is the Steelers. And in spite of the results these last couple of weeks, I just think the NFC is a much better conference right now.
Hub, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. We'll chat again down the road, I'm sure, as the season begins to culminate. Big one coming up for the Packers and the 49ers in a week from Sunday. And we'll chat a lot more. We didn't even mention Matt Nagy or Mitch Trubisky. Don't you feel good?
Well, I hear a lot about that about my hometown.
I know.
It's funny because as you dialed me up, I'm writing the game preview for the Bears and the Rams. You talk about the two biggest disappointments in the NFC.
Right.
And you begin to wonder. Obviously, the Rams have got some issues. The Bears, you have to assume, may have been a little bit of fool's gold at this point, although that defense is still capable of beating some teams even without Akeem Hicks and Danny Trevathan.
Always good to talk to you, pal. We'll chat soon, okay?
All right, take care.
Thanks, buddy. There you go. Hub Arkish, executive editor of Pro Football Weekly. You can find him on Twitter at Hub_Arkish, ARKUSH. He is heard in Chicago down on the Score as well, but always good to talk to him as he breaks down really, really well the NFL. He joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80+, they've been getting it done. Call them, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.